Keeping education in the family. Today we have two Putnam County principals talking with us. Welcome to the show, Ben and Leslie Herron.
Hi. Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for having us today.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming out. Like I asked you before, I know it's a busy time of year. Got a few things going on with school starting up. My daughter's super excited to get her schedule and get her parking pass at the high school.
All the things.
I'm there. There's so many moving parts. It's kind of crazy. So,
yes.
So let's start with this. Introduce yourself. Tell me where you are, what your role is.
Yeah. So, Leslie Herron, of course, you introduced us, and I am the new principal at Avery Trace Middle School. I'm very excited to take on this role. Coming back into middle school, so that's where my heart is, and so I'm excited to see this through.
Because you're moving from, you were at?
So I did 21 years in Baxter, Cornerstone and Upperman Middle School, and then last year dove into the elementary world at Cane Creek Elementary.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm Ben Herron. I am a principal at White Plains Academy, starting my second full year, so I've got 1.5 under my belt, so just excited to get the school year started. It's something different every day, and that's probably my favorite part of it, actually. It's just, just the breaks up the monotony of day in and day out of having different kids coming in. It's just ever-changing. So,
yeah, ever-changing, that's for sure. The challenges, the new is exciting.
Yes.
That's something that with our students at Tech, we would love to just plug them in for 3 or 4 weeks at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. Is not really doable. There's too many complications to that. But it would be great just if they could just be there and just jump in.
That's what we say. We say the first 3 to 4 weeks of the school year is completely different than if you're looking at the first 3 to 4 weeks coming back after Christmas breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Just the excitement that you see in the kids, the excitement in the teachers. There's just a sense of just ready to go and the newness of all of it. So mm-hmm. I don't think it matters what grade you're in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a fresh start. Everybody gets a new start. So if you had a bad year last year, everybody kind of forgets about it. And we come back and you have a good year. You try to improve upon the things as a teacher. And, students have another opportunity to have a new set of teachers. So build mm-hmm. relationships and start over. So it's an exciting time for, students and teachers alike. So.
Mm-hmm. And at all grade levels. To me, I mean, it's because I've had 3 children go through Putnam County school system. And so to have those different grade levels, it's the kindergarten. I mean, that's exciting. Mm-hmm. Starting middle school, that's exciting. Going to high school, all those things. There's so many big points.
I think it's so funny, especially in middle school, you have your new fifth graders come in and they're timid and they're like wide eyed at this big school and all the kids and the big kids. And then to watch them each year come back at the next grade level and then they come back as eighth graders and you can tell like there's a sense of, I don't want to say sadness, but there's a sense of, oh, this is my last time here. But it's funny to watch them progress through the middle school years on their first days of school.
Mm-hmm. And they come back for eighth grade and they're 6 feet tall.
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
They go through so many changes in middle school. It's crazy to see.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, let's talk a little bit about how you all got into education. So I'm always interested, and you know that I'm always trying to grab teachers. So I'm always trying to get inside the head of people who have got into education, either traditional path or the non-traditional path.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you get into education?
So funny, I gave this kind of story to my faculty yesterday. I never wanted to be a teacher. Didn't think education was in my future. And I came to Tech, bounced around. I think if you ask anybody, I have about 192 undergraduate hours.
Okay.
So lots of experience through there. And so then I was starting my 5th year, and my dad said, "You got to get out," And so I went through the program and went math and science, middle school. I knew I wanted that age group and then jumped in and just have been in love with it ever since. There's just something special about that group of kids, and it's just fun to watch them become their own personalities.
So, yeah. And thankful for you who like that age group. I mean, because there are people who are just like, I don't want to be anywhere near those crazy little hormone.
Yep.
People, and legitimately, if you don't, I mean, I'm kind of on the same wavelength personally as a middle schooler, and so I enjoy that grade level, but some people don't. They're like, give me the little bitties, or give me the older kids, and so thank goodness for people who love to teach middle schoolers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for me, probably like 95% of the males in education. I was offered to coach in Jackson County from my brother's high school friend, Rob Edwards, who's actually the head football basketball coach at Clay County High School. He was asked to coach football. He's never played a down of football in his life, and he'd tell you that. So he brought another friend of his and myself on, and we started coaching. And of course, I was already refereeing basketball just because I like sports. It was that was my job, you know, through college was to referee and things like that. So so just got into that and just really took on. I thought, you know, I didn't know what I really wanted to do. So got an education, and I got my undergrad in at Tech in secondary ed biology, because biology teachers were hard to find then. Mm-hmm. But I ended up going back and getting a master's degree in Tech in special education, and then I just went ahead. And so I went from kindergarten all the way through my EDS in instructional leadership. I never stopped, except for summers off. So mm-hmm. I've been in school my whole life. It's, mm-hmm. it's like being a kid your whole life. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah. Well, and some of us do that. Some of us have a lot of years of in education, and I kind of enjoy it. I mean, that's not everybody does, mm-hmm. but, you know, I've always enjoyed learning, and so it's – it just seemed natural to me. Some people, not so much. That, you know, they don't care for it. But
sure. I got tickled. We were going through one of the stores the other day, and Ben said, "I've never seen anybody that gets so excited about the first day of school and all the new school supplies as you do." I don't know. There's just something about it. So
yeah, they're here. Well, it's exciting if you're ready. If you're ready to make that switch,
ready,
if you're hanging
is.
On to yes. summer by the rains, you know, it can be.
We're ready for the cooler weather.
Yes, yes, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And that's always a challenge, too, in the schools,
yes.
I'm sure. And in an older school building at that,
yes.
I'd say that is a challenge. One of the questions I always ask is, so did you grow up here?
I did not.
Or are you from somewhere else?
I'm from Jamestown.
Okay.
And came to Tech in the fall of 98 and never really went back.
Okay.
So I was fortunate enough to graduate from Tech and took in a fifth grade science position at what was Cornerstone Middle School at that time, and just kind of the path kind of laid itself out for me, and so that was good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you were in Jamestown. So do you have a favorite teacher? Is it a teacher from Jamestown?
It is, yes.
Okay.
So in Jamestown, there are no middle schools. It's all K-8. And so my third grade teacher, her name was Miss Justine Hall, and she was your picture teacher. She had the little white bob haircut. We learned multiplication facts that year, and I'll never forget. She had this tin. It was like an old cookie tin, and it was filled of butterscotch. And every time that you could recite your multiplication tables, you got a butterscotch. And so I think it was just her building those relationships and teaching us, but also just being positive. You know, I can't remember her having a harsh word at all. And so I think that was very impactful of when I did become a teacher, that I knew how impactful that was for me. And so just being that way in my classroom, that's kind of stuck with me from her.
Do you have a cookie tin full of butterscotch?
I do not have a cookie tin full of butterscotch, but I do have a class that we did that, and we did Starburst. And so some of my former students will tell you, when they got to fifth grade and they still didn't know their multiplication tables, we were working for Starburst.
Yeah,
so,
working for it. And it goes a long way.
It does.
A little butterscotch.
It does. Butterscotch goes a long way.
Now, I did talk to – I believe it was Heather Tinch, who is also from Jamestown.
Yes.
And she told a story about one of her elementary teachers who – taught the class to clog.
Okay. So Heather went to Allert Elementary.
Okay.
I think for part of it. No, she may have went to York Elementary as well. And we, in the upper grades, our PE teacher, I didn't learn how to clog. I learned how to square dance.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So that's exciting.
I mean, standards change because I did too.
You probably didn't know that I knew how to square dance.
Yeah.
So, it's a new one. Sixth grade standard.
Yeah. Straight off the state website. In the blue book. It was
in the blue book.
You know, got a clog. Mm-hmm. So how about you?
I graduated from Upperman High School in 98. So I've been here all my life. Went through Baxter Primary or Baxter Elementary then, K-6. Didn't have middle school, so I went to 7-12. So you're talking about wide-eyed coming in 7th grade and seeing all the high schoolers, you know, people with beards and things like that. It was very eye-opening.
Yeah.
So you kind of had a pecking order, so it just kind of worked out real well. But did that, end up going to Tech, you know, through all my years. So I've been Kutville pretty much my whole educational career. I did teach a half a year in Jackson County, and then I taught a year in Macon County. And then I got to come back and teach at Cornerstone in 2005. So I've been here ever since, and it's been exciting. So
how about a favorite teacher?
Boy, I got so many. That's hard. I've got the coaches, I've the teachers, but you know, like I was math. I mean, Miss Rogers, I would say Cheryl Rogers. She's retired then, but she was a lot of fun. She did geometry and algebra for us, and it was good. We did proofs, and she always brag on still how good we are. And I was like, I really have no idea how I'm getting this answer right, but it's okay, you know. It was good. It was good. She was a great teacher. So
yeah, any of those things that you carried along with you.
I don't know. You put me on the spot on that. I don't know. I mean, you take something from everybody, you know, you see, mm-hmm. and you just try to be kind and, you know, and try to have patience and treat them like I want my kids to be treated when I was in school. And, you know, sometimes you just got to call them for what it is. And then sometimes, you know, you got to have a gentler hand with others. And so mm-hmm. it's just building relationships and knowing your students and knowing how to get through to each one of them. So,
mm-hmm. yeah, it is. And to me, it's 90% that. It's 90% relationships. I mean, all the other things will fall together if you can have a hard conversation or a mm-hmm. light conversation mm-hmm. with those kids.
We've talked about that with our faculty coming back to school, is just laying that foundation, even with parents, that you build that positive relationship. One of my assistant principals, Dustin Williams, he said, you got to make deposits before you can make withdrawals. And I thought that was pretty powerful, but just having that across the board so that they know you're there to support them. And sometimes it's hard love. And if you have that relationship, then they understand where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They do, and it takes a lot of effort to get to that point. It's not something that happens quickly, and I know that you know that coming into Avery Trace, you know, in a new school in that
role.
Yeah,
and you know, I think we can all attest to, we live in the day of age where parents don't always trust the teachers in the building where they're sending their kids to.
We're going
to
take a short break and come back and talk more. Education's all in the family with you all, so we'll take a short break and come back. Welcome back. Talking to Ben and Leslie Heron, some local principals from Putnam County. Appreciate y'all talking to us today. So let's talk a little bit about starting the school year, mm-hmm. what that looks like in your school or with you, especially what you anticipate that it's going to look like. Mm-hmm. How do you kick that off? How do you even wrangle those 100 million things that need to be done at the beginning of the school year?
When you figure it out, let me know. No, it's been really good. Coming into just a brand new faculty and not – having really any background relationships with them. I know that sounds funny, but it's been good to start fresh and have a blank slate. And, you know, that's one thing that I have said from day one when I took this position is my goal is, you know, to just build the pride around Avery Trace and make it be a place where, you know, the community wants to be involved and the teachers want to come to work and the kids want to be there to learn. And so I think keeping that in the forefront of everything that we're doing has been good. We met with our teachers Monday and Tuesday. We had school in service, a lot of just, you know, putting structures in place, some team building going on. Tomorrow we get to see kids for the first time, 2 hours, mm-hmm. 8 to 10, we get to see kids. And so that's really exciting to see all those new faces come in. And then just, you know, working with teachers about what those logistics look like. I've kind of tried to roll a few things out, with their input, of course. And so taking it that way, Monday we hit the ground running and, you know, we're all in it together. And so just making sure I'm notorious for saying Monday, everybody gets fed and everybody gets home. And if we get that, those
it's
two goals met, then it's a win. Just kind of, you know, meeting the needs of our kids, assessing those needs when they come in. But hiring new teachers has been fun. We've had a couple of those that we've had to do, and really just kind of getting the faculty, you know, together as a family and trying to build that structure.
Mm-hmm. And we're still getting calls today about teachers, about,
sure.
you know, schools that need to fill vacancies.
Yeah.
I mean, that's tough. It's a tough place to be as a principal.
It is.
To know that there's no one teaching in that
it
spot.
It is. Absolutely. Absolutely. I have a principal, or I have a teacher that we hired on Thursday, you know, trying to get the clear from HR and all the things so that, you know, we can have a body in that class on Monday to start mm-hmm. to start that class with and just be ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, school looks a little different for me this year because Leslie took a new job. So it's funny that we, you know, we try not to talk a whole lot about school at work. We do. We'll mm-hmm. catch up on each other's day, but her day's a lot different than mine. My school's learning's a lot mm-hmm. different than hers, but it's funny. You know, we get up and this morning, for instance, she's there. She goes, you know, in the middle of the night, it's funny you wake up and think about, how does Walker's get home and how does the car line run and just how things hit
yeah.
you. So this year we're having a lot of a lot of things. We walk up with a lot of thoughts.
Yeah,
and she's
sure.
trying to figure out to make sure. So I don't know that she'll sleep much this year, but that's okay. But for us, it's a similar thing. I mean, it's the same thing. Make sure our logistics are in place. You know, just trying to make sure positions are filled. We're still trying to fill one. So, but just making sure we're ready for the kids. And the main thing is that's what we're there for. We're there for kids, and you know, to make the to remove barriers so they can learn and do. And my school just looks a little different than her school. So.
It's been funny as we've gone through the summer. You know, you. Even being in the assistant principal role is completely different from sitting in this role. And is the building going to be, you know, are the floors going to be finished waxed? Mm-hmm. Is all the furniture going to be put back? Or is the curriculum going to be delivered on time? What if it's not delivered on time? So it's been a lot of those questions and logistics and working through that. So things that I don't think anybody sees on the backside of it.
How to fill out a PCF.
How to fill out, you know, when somebody moves, what do I do? And
is there soap in the soap dispenser?
Is there soap? I mean, do we have toilet paper? Is the cafeteria ready to go? What does it look like in the cafeteria? And so I think it's all those things that as classroom teachers, we take for granted that somebody's deciding for us. And so seeing the backside of it, even from this new principal role, has really been entertaining for some conversations at our house. That's for sure.
Well, and as a parent, you know, with you all also being parents, there's this level of expectation where you walk in on the first day of school and everything's just buttoned up and ready and all the forms are there. And I mean, I know that that's not a reality because of everything that you all have been doing for weeks on the backside. How do you personally deal with those parents, those issues that you run into straight out of the gate?
So I think it goes back to just being honest. And that's what I said from the get-go. I'm not going to have every single answer, but I think saying, you know, I don't have that answer, but let me find out for you. And as soon as I do, I'll be back to you. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, parents are going to understand that. I think just making sure that they feel heard. I'm sure there's going to be some frustrations on Monday. It's not going to run smoothly as everybody wants it to go. But taking the time and hearing those parents and knowing that their concerns are valid and then, you know, coming back around with a solution for them. And I think just having a solution mindset goes a long way. I've learned that, you know, parents really just want to advocate for their kids. And that's all they're doing, and they just want somebody to listen. And I think that mindset goes a long way resolving some of those issues.
And I know it looks a little different, just a little different in your world, but you still, you know, you do a lot of, I think, individualized education.
One thing really special about our school is I get to meet every family or parent and student that before they come to into my school building, they have to have a one-on-one sit down with me. I meet with every kid and every parent. So we get that opportunity to build a little bit of a relationship. Sometimes it goes well. Sometimes it doesn't go well. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I mean, and that's just, I guess this is what I'd tell the parents if anybody's listening or telling, you know, it's very unique because I tell them, I said, you're in this journey with me. You don't just drop your kid off and that's it. We're doing this together. So if he's not doing what he's supposed to do or she, I'm calling you. When I call you, I expect you to come in here and help me handle it. Mm-hmm. I'll help you, but you need to help me as well. Mm-hmm. And I think parents need to understand that, you know, it's your responsibility. You know, you're just you got more vested than we do. Mm-hmm. We want to see them do great, obviously, but you know, they're your most prized possession, and so you know, we take that very seriously. So you know, so we do have those conversations and talk about that, and you know, most time it's well received. You know, sometimes it's not, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, you know, it's a partnership between us and the parents to work and accomplish the goal of getting the students graduated and making sure that they can be successful members of society. And, you know, we've had that conversation. I said, if you sit here, I don't know you from Adam. I've never seen you before in my life. I said, but if you want to know why, I care, because I want you to be a productive member of society where I'm not the one keeping you up and working. I want you to go work and have a job and be able to have your own family and provide for. I said, so, you know, that may sound a little harsh, but I said, but at the end of the day, that's what we're all here for. Mm-hmm. To make sure that they're, you know, prepared and coming out and able to, you know, just function and be able to, you know, be a good citizen in this community. Mm-hmm. Because Cookeville's a great place to live.
Mm-hmm. And how many students do you typically have?
Well, mine's a mixed bag. We have several programs inside my school. So probably we'll start the school off with about 80 kids. I actually have 35 in my building that I have a hand on pretty heavily every day. Mm-hmm. But that grows throughout the year. I mean, we'll have what we call disciplinary hearings starting next week where I got one. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of a rollover from last year. So, and I think that's the important thing to know. Kids are going to make mistakes. It's a tough thing in the world. If you learn from it, mm-hmm. that's okay. Mm-hmm. I have some really, really great kids that come through my place. I have some kids who have some unfortunate things happen that come through my place. Hopefully they come in there and they feel like they're supported. And our students do really well because it's structured. Mm-hmm. Kids want structure. Kids want discipline. They act like they don't, but they really do. Mm-hmm. That's what they want. So, sometimes we think, well, you're too hard on them. Well, no, they want it. If I have to be hard on you, that means you just need more because mm-hmm. you're not taking the little bit I'm giving you. So they want that structure and that consistency. And I think that's what we offer. Cool High School is 2,500 kids, and I have some kids in there. Like, I can think of one kid just off the top of my head. I had it all good middle that, he just bless his little self. He just can't help himself in the hallways. He just can't handle it. He just can't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
But he comes to my place and he's perfectly fine. Does mm-hmm. he do some bonehead things? Of course, but that's okay. That's kids. Mm-hmm. I did too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just the environment. It's just a small environment, having the structure. And some kids need that place.
All right, well, let's take a short break and we'll come back, talk a little bit more with Ben and Leslie. Welcome back, talking to Ben and Leslie Heron about school in Putnam County. Avery Trace and White Plains principals. So, what's going on in the school? So, what do you have that's new, that's underway? And because I know there's always something that's happening or something that's changing or something that's getting worked on.
So one exciting thing for us is, we're going to open the year with a new softball field. And that's exciting. It's exciting for our girls softball team to have that and have their own space.
Sure, they appreciate that.
Somehow, in the result of that, we ended up with a practice soccer field as well, too. So that's been a good add-on. I know there's some excitement around that. So that's been fun to have some conversation around. I'm excited to see the girls have their own place to play there. The guys have a great looking field, and so now they both have their own space and easy to enjoy. I'm gonna work a lot this year on just kind of facelifting the school, outside of the building, some landscaping, fresh paint inside goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
Just going back to making it a place that people have some pride in and that people want to be a part of. And so that's really a huge goal for me this year, is to kind of just update a few things on the inside, do a little bit of facelifting around the grounds, and then hopefully begin to bring in some things that are student friendly and welcoming to the community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's amazing to me the difference that it can make just having something as small as a fresh coat of paint.
Yeah. We took out four dead trees in the front of the school, and you can't imagine the whole new look of the school. I mean, it was really funny. We took out those four trees and everybody was like, "What's missing?"
Yeah.
We're like, "Okay, here's the before picture." Uh-huh. So find what's different. But yeah, just little things like that. Like you said, a fresh coat of paint just goes a long, mm-hmm. long way. Mm-hmm. We've had a great janitorial staff over the summer that have worked endlessly on moving classrooms and having the floors shined and ready to come back. Mm-hmm. And so helping them out a little bit and kind of just taking a few steps forward, mm-hmm. working with the teachers and try to put some things in place that they can be proud of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And having that pride is extremely important. I mean, you want the students to be proud.
Absolutely.
Not just be like, I'm here.
Yeah, absolutely.
But to take pride in that building.
Yeah. When I talked to Buddy Pearson when I first got hired, and he said, what's a goal? And I said, that's the first school you pass coming into Cookeville. Mm-hmm. And I said, it's got to be a beacon of that community. And so trying to get everybody bought into that, and just that community where we can pour into the community and they're pouring back into us, is just a huge goal right now. Mm. So,
and it's funny, I'm sure that you all have noticed that Tennessee Tech looks different
Absolutely.
Than it did when we were there
Yes.
in the 90s.
Yes.
And at first, when you're so used to things being the way they are, you can be a little grumbly. But then
Right.
when you see the vision, and when you see, there's someone planted grass where there's just been a dead spot for 6 years or 10 years, or cut that tree down. It's those little things do make a huge difference.
That's what we talked about. When Ben took over at White Plains, I think we walked the building the first time, and it was needed some love.
Mm-hmm.
Great. It's got beautiful bones in it. But I said, just to walk back through and that to be even a source of pride for the kids that are there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's been I think that's a pretty proud wife moment for me to see what you've done at that school.
I appreciate that. I mean, it's funny, though. It's amazing the amount of people that want to come into that building because it was, well, I went to school there.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's the older folks who've been there. My dad graduated from there. So it's pretty neat. They come in. Like, we got the Mr. Matheny, when he left, he took they changed the floor out and made it new. He took the old All Good floor, has the original A, and Mr. Covington took, and he framed it out real nice, and we hang it in the hallways.
Okay.
We got the old trophy still in there. So we got some from, like, 1920.
Oh, wow.
So they're old. I mean, there's a lot of cool things in there. So as you go through and you see, like, little placards where they've added on the building in different sections. So it is you won't find anything built like that was built back then.
Mm-hmm.
So it does look better. We've tried to put some money and time into it. We're still looking for that. We have a lot of great adopters at our school and always looking for more.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But it has been great to just kind of have something to be proud of. Cause, I mean, it goes on beyond our students there, I think. And same thing there. It's Cooper High School. You know, they used to be Cooper High School. So just having pride in the building, they would come back in. Oh, well, I remember how it looked like this, or this looked like this. Oh, this auditorium looks so small now. You know, you hear that. So just try to preserve it and make sure that we do the best we can and to have something that the community's proud of. We spend all this money on buildings, and we want to maintain them and have a place for, you know, our kids to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it changes. The things change so dramatically. One of the things – always interesting to discuss and to talk about are how things have changed since you started in education.
Oh my goodness, yes.
You know, because we like to think, I mean, we've been in it a few years, but some people have been in it for 40 years, 50 years in education. But just in the time that you've been in education, what do you think is one of the biggest shifts or the things that have changed? Obviously, even just in the past few years, the cell phone change. I mean, that's a big shift because at some point we kind of thought, well, this might be a good tool that we can take advantage of. Mm-hmm. We've come full circle with that change. So what are your thoughts?
I think I started at Cornerstone in January of 2004. And I've told the story. I think I can remember us rolling over to 400 kids in that building. and it was like, oh, my goodness, how much growth we have. And when I left Upperman Middle, they were sitting at about 860. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just there has been for me the realization of, you know, yes, we still have small communities and we have that community feel, but we're no longer these little tiny schools. And the diversity that's in our buildings, I think is, you know, that's phenomenal and being able to grow that and look at that. But just the shift in the shift that we've seen in children, you know, the students that we had when I started, kids are not the same as they were then, for a variety of reasons. You know, cell phone has been a big influencer of that. Just seeing that transformation, I think, has been very eye opening as we've gone through that.
Mm-hmm. Well, even just seeing, I walked through an elementary school one day, and they had careers. They had sketched out their careers on the wall.
Yeah,
and half of the careers were social media or YouTube.
That we never heard of.
I mean, that was like, that's what I want to be when I grow up. And I was I was kind of stumped.
Yeah.
You know, because it growing up is teachers and police officers. And I mean, you know, in elementary anyway, there were very few things that everybody wanted to be that was a real job.
Mm-hmm.
And so that to me is just, it's a shift. It's not necessarily good or bad, but it's just a change.
Well, it's a change for you, I'm sure. I mean, it was very eye opening when we went to Mississippi State to go through and listen to them and go through orientation and talk about, I mean, you almost have to fail. You almost have to try to fail. Like, the resources are unlimited for you to have, for help.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, it was just amazing. Tutoring, if you were putting kids in classes, if they've already took the class and made A's and put them in there, and they'll have study hours for you. I mean, it's just like, I mean, you would really, if you really want to get a degree, I don't care what level you are, you can go get one.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, that, I mean, I know it's a change for y'all, but, you know, COVID was a big change. I mean, we're finally out of that. But that was a rough couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Coming off that and coming back in and getting kids in. And, of course, everybody's either high or low on it. You know how that goes. And,
right.
And so dealing with that. But I think we've kind of settled back into what I would say normal is for before that. But that was a rough little period of school changing. And behaviors were off the chart. Everybody's a little more heightened, a little more sensitive. And just it was tough. It was a tough time.
I think opportunities for kids has been one of the biggest changes as well. You know, when I graduated from York Institute, in Jamestown, you were either going to school and you were going to be a teacher, you were going to work at the local hospital, or you were, you know, going into a trade. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my dad is my dad's the county executive in Fentress County, and he spoke the other day and he talked about how, you know, just trying to revamp that community to keep the youth in that area, mm-hmm. you know, and I think he spoke to my sister and me both that, you know, both of his kids moved away because there were more opportunities. And I think that's one thing that I've seen, especially in middle school, is putting those opportunities out in front of kids. You know, we have dual credit classes that we're offering in high school. We have our advanced classes that we're offering for high school credit in middle school. Mm-hmm. And so putting those opportunities out there in front, I think, has been a huge growth, a great opportunity for those kids. Because, I the more they're exposed to, the more that they see what's out there. You know, like you said, jobs that we would have never thought of, you mm-hmm. know, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So,
and some of those are real jobs.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That exist, mm-hmm. even though it's not something I would set out to get.
Right.
And sometimes we need to slow down, though, and let kids be kids.
Mm-hmm.
We push mm-hmm. them and push them, we push mm-hmm. them and push them, but sometimes they got to be kids. So that's I think that's important, too. I think there's a balance there.
Yeah, I agree. And one of the things you mentioned was teachers being a teacher. So what are your thoughts on, obviously, we have a teacher shortage,
mm-hmm.
and that's, you know, we have at some point in the past few years, we had more job embedded candidates than mm-hmm. undergrad licensure majors at Tennessee Tech, which was kind of mind boggling. We're balancing a little bit, but we're always looking for teachers, always trying to recruit teachers, always trying to bring people in. What are some of the barriers there for bringing people into teaching and keeping them in the community?
I think we've seen, you know, there's always good and bad in a profession. And I think so many incidents have been highlighted, you know, around teachers that there's, I don't want to say there's a negative public opinion about it, but I think a lot of your younger college students that are going through that don't want to step into that because, you know, number one, they're being asked to do so many more things than we did when we started in this profession. And that's part of any profession, just growing that. But there's a lot of pushback from the community. There's a lot of pushback, you know, in parent conversations. And I think it goes back to stepping outside of their comfort zone. And are you comfortable having these hard conversations? Are you comfortable in, you know, leading this classroom and being in charge of 30 kids? Like, you're in charge of their safety, of their education. And that's a lot to take on. I think we probably went into the role and that was just the job and that's what we were going to do. And I think it's kind of like we've been there, and so we've seen the security issue arise, and we've seen the curriculum, the rigor increase, and we've seen all of those things, whereas these new teachers in this profession, like, they haven't been there to experience the change. They're just stepping into it. Mm-hmm. And so I think the idealistic, you know, teacher job is not exactly what that profession is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not a, you know, oh, you get summers off and – you know, teaching is not that anymore. I think people, I mean, we have teachers meeting all summer. They're yeah. in their classrooms. I mean, it's mm-hmm. the building's full. I mean, mm-hmm. it's mm-hmm. it's year round.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
so even the days that maybe you may say, well, I don't see you at school. Well, we are. We're, we may not be mm-hmm. in the building, but I guarantee we're answering emails or we're taking phone calls or we're mm-hmm. at a meeting somewhere else. Or I mean, that's just us, but that's teachers as well. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot I asked of them and. But there is a lot of perks to it as well.
So. Mm-hmm. It is certainly one of the most rewarding professions I think that exists. So
yes.
We've hit the end of our time.
Okay.
So I appreciate y'all coming out. It's great
Thanks
talking education
us.
With
yes.
you.
Thank you so much, Cheryl.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.